praise the Lord. We give God all the honor and the glory for what he's doing in our lives. Stepping in for Pastor Paul for his Wednesday night service Bible study. On last Wednesday, he started a series about the armor of God. And I just want to piggyback off of it and share some things that the Lord has brought to my attention concerning the armor. And as you can see on the screen, pardon me, we're going to talk about the armor of God as identity in Christ. So the true armor is Christ himself. In his armor, the breastplate of righteousness, he is our righteousness. Helmet of salvation, he is our salvation. The shield of faith, our faith is in him, what he's done. He is the word of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is shoes with the preparation of peace. He is our peace. So when we walk clothed in Christ, we are not only protected, we are also victorious. Amen. So let's take a look at that. So recap from last week where Paul was sharing, Pastor Paul was sharing about David's armor. when the giant was there making a mockery of the children of Israel, David runs up and tells them all the things he's going to do to the giant. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, and unrestricted by satanic forces and demonic images. Lord, think to my mind, speak to my vocal cord. You know the needs of your people today, not I. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Saul.
Yes.
David could not wear Saul's armor. So Saul put his armor on David in 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 39. And we were here kind of laughing about how funny he probably looked. You know, Saul was much bigger man than David. And so he probably just was draped in it. But they asked me, and what I shared on last week was our armor is unique to us. Yeah. You know, back then when they put armor on the soldiers, it was tailor-made to fit them. And so our walk in Christ is a tailor-made walk, or it's personal. So the armor is always personal. So Christ must become personal. The armor must personally, we must personally take on it so it fit us. And so that was really important. Also, human strength and man-made covering will never equip us for spiritual battles. So this is a spiritual battle, and we have to put on Christ Jesus if we want to see victorious living in our lives. All right, let's go to the next. We're going to go by and we're going to talk piece by piece on each piece of the armor, piece by piece. All right. So piece by piece identity, glory to God. So the breastplate of righteousness, it protects our heart against accusations. The enemy likes to accuse us. In the Revelations 12:10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God of our the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come." Look what it says there. "For the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down." So Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's always accusing us day and night. And so our righteousness is of Christ, not of ourselves. So a lot of times, the enemy will attack your mind, and he will make you feel like He'll try to make you feel like you're unworthy for the blessings of God and even to do what God called you to do. And you have to always remind him that Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. So I have there in the middle there where it says 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin," meaning God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are the righteousness of God in him. What does the righteousness of God mean? It means we are in right standing with God. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we are in right standing with God. Jesus makes us right with God, him and him alone. And when we put our faith in God, we are righteous. God counts us as righteous because Jesus is our righteousness. He sees us through what Jesus has done for us. So now, without confidence in righteousness, your prayer life suffers because doubt blocks faith. If you don't believe that you're righteous, you can't get answers to your prayers. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The Word of God says that his ears are open to the righteous. So you're righteous. So he always hears your prayers. Why? Because you believe in Jesus. That's why. He listens to you. He hears your prayers. And he will answer those prayers because you are his righteousness. He made you righteous. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and a body washed with pure water." So it says that because the enemy tries to attack you in that area to make you have a sin consciousness. So you got to cover your heart knowing that you are right with God. Why are you right with God? Because you believe in Jesus. And, you know, as I was teaching, as I teach and I've been sharing, and because you are practicing your righteousness, you are on Team Jesus and you're showing up to Bible study. You're coming to the fellowship and on Sundays, you're studying your word. You're practicing, you're crucifying your flesh. So you're practicing righteousness. You're on the team. All right. So now in James 1:6-7, it reads, "But let him ask in faith." Now we're talking about the prayer. "Let him ask in faith," excuse me, "with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from God." So if you don't believe you're righteous, you're condemned in your heart. If your heart condemns you, he says he's greater than your heart. But you got to believe in your heart. And that's what that breastplate of righteousness is. It is Christ Jesus has made you righteous. And you stand on that. I'm righteous because I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. Amen. You got to get what I just said. That's the way I say that when the enemy tries to attack me. I say, no, Jesus is my righteousness. I am in right standing with God because Jesus is my righteousness. Amen. He is my righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? So praise God. So that's what that breastplate is for, to protect your heart, to cover your heart from Satan's indictments against you. Glory to God. So you're putting on Christ Jesus. Alrighty. Let's talk about the shoes of peace. Jesus is our peace. In John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you." He said, "My peace I give you." He says, "Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So in John 14:27, it says, again, he left peace with us. So he was telling his disciples that he was their peace. And he is our peace now. Jesus is our peace. So he's our righteousness, and now he's our peace. In Romans 16:20, it says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So in the book of Romans 12:20, it talked about that. And you have to learn to hold your peace, and let God fight your battle. Because God will crush Satan's head under your feet. He is the peace. So when you put on the shoes, shod with the preparation of the gospel, the word gospel, we get some good news. The gospel of peace, God's peace towards you in Christ Jesus, it crushed Satan's head. And so always be ready to operate in peace. Peace is not passive. It crushes the enemy underfoot. Peace is not weakness. It is strength. You know, it's people always want to clap back or respond when someone's coming at you saying things or whatever. You know, no, you got to hold your peace. Don't respond to people's accusations. The devil is giving them those accusations against you. Some people can feel a certain way against you. And what the enemy is trying to do is draw you into a confrontation with them. Well, you got to remember, we fight not against what? Flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So the enemy has to use people to come against you because we're in the people planet. But when you understand that it's spirits behind the way they think and the way they feel, you won't operate in trying to clap back at people. Ain't no need to clap back. There's a spirit behind that. So hold your peace. So when we, again, when we hold our peace, God himself acts on our behalf. Peace is a weapon that silences the enemy and establishes our victory. So we got to learn to be at peace. Jesus told his disciples that they would be hated because they believe in Jesus. They was persecuted because they believed in the risen Christ. And they held their peace. They became martyrs. They didn't fight back. Even the way we dealt with racism in America with Martin Luther King, all the marching that they did, Martin Luther King understood that we would win the battle through peace. Walk in love instead of fighting back. And that takes a lot. That takes a lot of godliness to do that. And so we have to just think about how awesome our forefathers were that held their peace when they attacked them with dogs. America want to whitewash all this stuff like racism never happened in our nation, but it did. And so when you whitewash something, it can easily be repeated. But, you know, all has been forgiven. It's over. And we as a nation has to move past it, not forget it, learn from it, move past it, and never let it be repeated again. That's what God wants us to do, not continue to blame each other. Brother Price has an awesome teaching about race, religion, and racism. Religion, race, and racism. I think that's how it's worded, but it's powerful. I listened to it. It was powerful. And he said something that really blessed me. He talked about reactionary racism. See, we have to stop having reactionary racism. You're reacting to someone else's racism. And as I told you, a person that is racist is a person that is insecure and don't know who they are. They got a problem with God creating everyone unique and different. All right, enough on that. So the gospel preparation means to walk in peace. The gospel preparation means to walk in peace, not debate or argument. This is so very important. A lot of people try to bring salvation to people through argumenting and debating. You can't debate someone into salvation. You can't argue them into salvation. It's through peace. It's them coming and understanding what Jesus has done for them. You can't intellectualize people into salvation. You can't emotionalize people into salvation. It's simply you got to simply explain to people the gospel, which means good news, that Jesus is our peace. So all the problems and circumstances that has happened in a person's life, he brings peace to that life. And it also says that righteousness is sown in peace. So it's not about arguing and debating. Religion kills people. You understand? Religion is very angry and argumentative. If you don't agree with me, we're going to kill you. Salvation, our salvation is not way. If you don't believe in us, that if you don't believe in Jesus, then you have that right. It's not for us to change your belief. It's us. It's our job to tell you what we believe and what the and why we believe it, and to share with you our faith in Jesus. But it's God's job to win people to Him. He said, "With loving kindness, He draws them."
Yes.
He says, "With loving kindness, He draws them." Fighting and bickering and debating and wanting to kill them is not going to draw nobody. So think about religion. Religion is always abrasive and it likes to kill people that don't agree with them. So we have a gospel of peace. Jesus is peace. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Jesus is the good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Glory to God. This is where that comes from, the gospel of peace. Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts." See that?
Yeah.
It says, "Let the peace of God rule your hearts." Like an umpire. Be at peace. So let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful. So we let the peace. So the shoes with the preparation of gospel of peace, shot with the preparation of gospel of peace, reminds us that the gospel is not spread again through arguments or intellectual debates, but through the living witness of Christ's peace in us. People should see us walking in a peaceful life.
Amen.
You know, now that doesn't mean we can't protect ourselves. It means we don't start none. Oh, won't be none. Oh, man, everybody don't want to be a martyr. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we operate in peace. So we walk with peace. We carry the good news of reconciliation with God. Peace is the strides of our steps. It guards our heart and it crushes the enemy beneath us. So we need to learn how to walk in peace. The Bible says, when it's at all possible, dwell with men in peace. So if you're around someone that disturbs your peace, leave. And don't ever try to force yourself on people. You know, like, a lot of people don't like me. Well, I don't, you know, ain't nothing I can do about that. I don't care. Meaning, I'm not going to cry over it. We're all unique and different. And everybody won't like me. I like everybody. I love everybody. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I like people. I think people are neat. You know, because God created them. So anyway, that was our teaching point right there that I wanted to leave us with. You know, and that's how we crush Satan's head. I want to hop on this a little bit. We've only been here about 12 minutes. I talked about Gretchen's puppies. Gretchen's puppies. Gretchen was a German shepherd that a friend of mine, when I was a little boy, they had a female German shepherd, and she would have puppies. And every time she had a litter, you know, I think it was about three times I can remember. We would go down there and see the litter of puppies, and they would pinch them on the side and make them fight. You know, and they Well, you know, one day I was meditating and the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Gretchen puppies." And so it brought something back. It brought that back to me from my childhood. And he began to minister to me. He says, "That's what Satan does. He irritates y'all to fight each other. And when you fight each other, you break spiritual laws. You were created to love." See, God is a God of love. So it gets us out of love. That's why the Bible says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." You got to love yourself enough to abide in God's love. And as you abide in God's love, the love of God flows from you to other people. Glory to God. But if you get out of God's love, that love is shut off because he's the love valve. Glory to God. Love flows from him. So you have to stay abide. You got to abide in the love vine. Glory to God for love to flow out of you. And a lot of people try to walk in love in their own ability. You can't walk in the love of God in your own ability. That's why you got to stay plugged into him and that love flows out. So again, the point I'm making is when you don't walk in peace, the enemy is getting you to break spiritual laws. That's why, you know, it said in the word of God where it says some of you are sick among them because you don't know how to discern the body of Christ. So you're fighting each other and chiding and speaking to each other, and then sickness come upon you because you're breaking a spiritual law of love. And so when you break that spiritual law, you open the door. It says a curse cometh not causeless. You open up a hedge for serpents to bite and attack you. You understand? God operates by spiritual laws. And once we learn these spiritual laws and learn to obey these spiritual laws, life goes well with us. All righty. Continuing on, the belt of truth. So truth is a person. I shared this on last week in the Bible study when they asked me a question. Truth is a person. So in John 14, 6, it says, Jesus said unto them, to him or them, I am the way. He says, I am the way, meaning Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. And that belt held up all the armor. It held everything in place. Right?
Yeah.
So Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, holds everything in place. So if you're not operating and embracing Jesus as the way and the truth and the life of God, he's the life of God. If you're not holding on to that and believing in that, then you're operating in deception. And that's how the enemy gets in people's lives, because they don't see Jesus as the only way and the truth and the life. So that's why I share the truth is a person. It's Jesus. So again, the belt holds everything together. And without truth, the rest of the rest of the armor collapses or just falls apart. All right. The belt. Yeah, I saw that, Holy Spirit. A lot of times people are trying to walk by faith, but they ain't got no armor anywhere else. And that's why their faith ain't working. You can't walk by faith if you don't understand that Jesus is the way and the truth and your life of faith. Glory to God. You can't walk by faith. It's not going to work. Oh, I'm walking by faith. And all you got is your shield on. You have no helmet of salvation on. Your breastplate. You have no, your righteousness is not covered. You don't have your righteous identity. And you not walking in peace. You can't walk in faith and not walk in peace. Because if you're not walking in peace, you're not walking in love. So your faith won't work, because faith works by love. So just because you got a big shield of faith and I got all this faith and no love, it's not going to work. All righty? Does you no good. So now, so again, the belt holds up all the armor's garments or the pieces. Without it, everything falls apart. In the same way, Jesus, as the truth, holds our spiritual life together. So everything is anchored in the truth and the reality of Jesus. It holds our entire life together. It's all about him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So you got to understand it's about Jesus. Without Jesus, you have no righteousness. Without Jesus, you have no salvation. Without Jesus, you have no peace. You get what I'm saying? And faith loses its foundation. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplates of righteousness. You know, yeah, these young cats is walking around trying to run without a belt on. Their pants are slipping down, and you know, man, you know, put a belt on, man. It holds everything up and everything falling down and showing. Nobody wants to see that. You know, put the belt on. Yeah, you see, yeah, I got a belt on. We have belts in our day, you know. And I'm going to say something. I'm not, well, when we were young, we could run from the police. I shouldn't say it that way, but, you know, but anyway, enough of that. I shouldn't even say it that. Anyway. All right. So we also must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
In John 4:27, it says, God is a spirit. This is important. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For Jesus is the truth. So you have to worship God in spirit and in Jesus. You worship God for what Jesus has done for you. We worship God for what Jesus has done for us. See, Jesus is the gift of life. Yeah. Jesus is the manifested love of God. So we worship God for Jesus. Do you understand this? A lot of people don't understand that. You worship God for Jesus out of your new born again spirit. You're born again. You got a new spirit. So now you can worship God for all that God has provided for you yeah. in Christ Jesus. Man, Brother Larry, you preach a lot of Jesus. Yeah, that's what it's about. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be a son of God. He's the good news. I mean, glory. That thing make your spirit. He's the good news. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus. Yeah. Thank you for the good news of all that he's done for me. Thank you. It's all about Jesus. Now, the devil don't want nobody to hear about Jesus. You go to church and hear about everything else, and it'll pack up. But a simple message about Jesus, well, we don't want to hear that. We know about that. Do you? I'm really seeing that the devil don't want nobody to know Jesus and walk in Jesus because Jesus has defeated him. And if you want to have... Man, this is something else, man. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Man, he'll keep people away from in droves because they don't want nobody to hear about Jesus. But you have some wonderful program, everybody going to show up. But no victory in your life because you don't have a heart and an ear to hear about Jesus. He is the armor of God. He is our armor.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is our armor of victory. Every piece stands for what he has done for
Amen.
Us. Glory to God. John, man. Whew. All right. So let's take this away. The belt of truth reminds us that Jesus is not simply a teacher of truth. He is the truth itself. And he holds everything up. Everything up. How embarrassing it would be you running around and everything falls off. And you just sitting there just, you know, he holds it all together. He is the truth itself. When we fasten our lives with him, everything else in our spiritual walk is secure. I'll say it again. When we fasten our lives with him, everything else in our spiritual walk is secure. Without Christ as truth, our armor collapses. With him, we stand firm. We worship rightly and live anchored in reality.
Yes.
In the realities of what he's done for us. Got to teach it about the non-realities of the cross. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All righty, let's talk about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation guards our mind against doubt and deception. Again, it guards our mind against doubt and deception. The helmet protects our head. The place of thoughts, deception, and imagination, it protects us. So we have to renew our mind to our salvation. Watch this. Listen to what I'm going to say. We must renew our minds to the benefits of our salvation. We must renew our minds to our identity in Christ. How do we renew our mind with the scriptures of the Word of God? You cannot pull down any stronghold of the enemy if your mind is not renewed to scriptures. What does the Word say about you? What does the Word say Jesus has done for you? What does the Word say you are in Jesus? That's what we live by, and that alone. It doesn't take a rocket science scientist to figure this out. It is simply accepting who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him, and living by faith in it. The enemy often attacks the mind with lies, doubt, and confusion. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest somehow," this is Paul said that, "somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds may be corrupted." Look what this says, "from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is victory is in the simplicity of Christ. Meaning easy to understand. It's not complicated. Praise God. Salvation is secure in Christ. Our salvation is our security in Christ.
Yeah.
Salvation is secure in him. In him. "For by grace," in Ephesians 2:9-8 it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is not earned. It is a finished work. It is a finished work in Christ. Salvation is a finished work in Christ. It's walking by faith in what he's already accomplished for us on that cross. But our mind has to get renewed to that and not let the enemy deceive us with unnecessary information that has nothing to do with the simplicity of our salvation. Glory to God. We got to get it free from getting a bunch of information that has nothing to do with the simplicity of our salvation in Christ. People get a lot farther along in their Christian walk if they stop complicating the gospel. Okay? Gospel means good news. What's good news? The good news of what Jesus has done for you. Do you know what Jesus has done for you? So this armor and this helmet of salvation protects your mind from what you have been renewed in the scriptures concerning Jesus. So you don't let the enemy penetrate that because you know what Jesus has done for you. You know it based on scriptures, chapter, and verse. Now, that's against what the word says. God has supplied all my needs by Christ Jesus. So when the enemy says your needs are not going to be met, no, that's not true. That is not true. He supplied all my needs by Christ Jesus. All right, so the helmet protects us against the lies that questions what Jesus has already accomplished. This is so powerful, man. This is powerful. Again, the helmet of salvation, it protects against lies that question what Jesus has already accomplished. John 10:28-29 reads, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands." This is out of Jesus' hands. See, I'm in Jesus' hands. I don't know who hands you in, and I'm not in some pastor, some man's hand. I am in my shepherd's hands, the chief shepherd, and no one can take me out of his hands. Why? Because I know who he is. At one point, I didn't. And I would run over here to hear that, and I would run over here to hear that. Oh, they're saying something over this, over there. I'm running over there. No. I'm secure. Found it. And I know who I am in Christ. And I just talk about Jesus. Because that's what God wants us to talk about. You save, you people receive, get saved and receive their salvation when you tell them about their Savior. How hard is that? That's why I don't tell people about our church. Our church, I don't have a church. It's about Jesus. You meet Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you let him be the Lord of your life, you become the church. You become a brick that's fitly joined together in his body. So I don't run off. And, you know, I used to be there. Oh, man, that's, oh, hey, man, Johnny, here's something deep and fabulous. Now, Jesus is deep enough for me. And that's the only fabulous I want in my life. All righty. So, anyway. Look what he says. He says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, oh man, oh, so let's say this, Lord Jesus. See, a lot of preachers use witchcraft on this, and they think that God gave the people to them. No, the people belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You go where Jesus tell you to go, to the under-shepherd to teach you about Jesus.
Amen.
And that under-shepherd is not teaching you about Jesus. Jesus didn't send him. Jesus is not going to give you an under-shepherd that's not going to teach you about him and build you up in him. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because that's not gathering with Jesus, it's scattering. Romans 8:38-39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life," look at this, "nor angel nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us," look at that, "from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus." That's that last little block over there. Romans 8. That where is the love of God? The love of God is in Jesus, our Lord. It is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where the love of God is at. Man, I believe God loves you. God's love is in Jesus. So if you're not in Jesus, you're not tapping into the love of God. Amen?
Yes.
This is true. This is true. This is true. This is true. So, so the helmet of salvation is the assurance of our eternal security in Christ. It guards our minds against deception, doubt, and fear. When the enemy whispers lies, you're not really saved, or God has abandoned you, or he don't love you, or you're unworthy. The helmet reminds of the truth. The helmet reminds of the truth. It reminds us of the truth. Salvation is a gift of grace secured by Christ. It's a finished work, and nothing can separate us from that love. So that's the first place of the attack, is he attacks this mind area. So it's very vital that you renew your mind and you protect your mind and you pull down every thought and stronghold of the enemy that exalts itself against the knowledge of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the knowledge of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about intellectual, biblical intellectualism. No, the knowledge of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. That's what you have to pull down. You're holy, you're righteous, you're above reproach in his eyesight. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. So that's the first place that you got to pull those thoughts down. And if you don't know what the words say, you can't pull them down. All righty. Praise the Lord. So like the protective area of the chest plate, it's more like the feeling side of you, your heart side. So what he does, he attacks the mind. And once he gets to the mind, he gets into your heart and feeling. It makes you feel a certain way. Well, how come you feel that way? Because you took on the thought in your mind. He got past the first piece of armor, and he's now trying to get into your heart. And now you got to pull that weed out, because you're thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So thoughts produce feelings. And if you mull on those negative feelings, those negative thoughts, for me, if you mull on those, you think about those negative thoughts, it then produces negative feelings and it gets into your heart. Now your heart is contaminated. Your righteousness be contaminated. Now you don't feel worthy, and you start having that that Eeyore. Oh, man, yeah. No, what happened? He penetrated the thought. All right. Last piece we're going to talk about here, then we're going to go home. The armor of God as identity in Christ. All right. This piece we're going to talk about is the shield of faith that quenches all the darts of the enemy. So now you can put that shield up. You can put your shield up. And back then they had a shield that just completely covered themselves. Alrighty. So now, faith quenches fiery darts. Ephesians 6:16, it says, "Above all, take on the shield of faith," which above all that you just put on. Now, above that. So he's showing you the order. You got to get all this right. Now you put your shield of faith up. Now you can walk by faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which, you know what I forgot? I forgot the sword of the Spirit. Man, I just realized I didn't put that in this teaching. Dag nabbit. Alrighty. Let's move on. We'll finish this. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield was the soldier's first line of defense, large enough to cover his entire body. Faith in Christ extinguishes every fire dart, lies, temptations, accusations, and fears the enemy launches against you. So now, this is important. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. How does faith work? It works by love. So Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail of anything, but faith working through love. Faith is not mechanical, it is relational. This is important. A faith life is not a mechanical life. Doing all these, you know, jumping through hoops and crossing every T, every dot and every I. No. Faith is relational. You must believe that God loves you to really live by faith. It flows from knowing God loves us first. So when you're rooted in love, our faith becomes strong and effective. When you're rooted, now what I mean, not you loving others. That's not what you get rooted in. When you get rooted in God's love for you, then you can love others. So you get rooted in that. Now that love flows. Every attack. See, when the enemy attack you, like I was telling you about, you know, the shoes of peace. When you know God loves you and will protect you, you will walk in peace. When you understand that you got agents protecting you, you have angels that's going to protect you. When you really believe that, you won't worry about people harming you. All right. So now, and you won't try to get back at people. You'll just say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God will recompense you. He will make it up to you. All righty. So every attack is to meet is met with confidence in Christ. So every enemy's attack, you meet it with confidence in Christ, which is his finished work. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down on the right hand of God's throne. So faith is not confidence in ourselves, but it is in Christ completed victory for us. He's our victorious king. And so this armor is his victory that we walk in. I'm going to say it again. The armor is his victory that we walk in. And every fiery dart is defeated through this shield of faith. When we lift our shield of faith, declaring Jesus has already won this battle. I'm going to say it again. We must declare that Jesus has already won this battle. Amen. Very important that we do that. Jesus has already won the battle for us. Praise the Lord. The last thing we do is we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Glory to God. So we're going to stop right there. I was preparing this letter. Oh, there it is. I didn't think it was there. I am so sorry. It is there. Glory to God. I got it. Hallelujah. All right. So let's finish reading this teaching point here. The shield of faith is not just defense. It is active trust in Jesus. When the enemy attacks us with fear, doubt, and accusation, faith rises to declare God's promises and blocks the assault. Faith is fueled by love. That love that we know and believe that God has for us. It is anchored in Christ's finished work and powerful enough to extinguish every fiery dart. So now that you're fully clothed, you put that shield up, and now your faith is in that God loves you. He's not going to do anything to hurt you. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to make you be ashamed because you believe in Jesus. You got to understand that. And so now the final piece, which is actually the weapon of our warfare, which is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We do it with the word of God. So this is the only offensive weapon Everything was kind of defensive and protective. Glory to God. Defensive and protective. Glory to God. Now the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's our offensive weapon. This is where the spoken word cuts through the lies. So now we have to now speak the word to the thoughts. We got to deal with our thought life. We got to deal with our feelings. We got to tell our feelings to line up with the word of God. Or we can cast our cares upon God with our feelings. But anyway, any indictment the enemy try to bring to us, circumstance or situation, we speak what the word says to it. Any mountain of opposition, we speak the word. So in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, the first, it discerns our thoughts and our intents first. Okay? So when we spend time in the word of God, it deals with our thoughts and intents first. So any thought and an intent, that intent of our heart that is not of God, the word lays our heart open and show us this is not of God. What do we deal with? We deal with that thing in our own hearts first. This is so very important because that's how you defeat the devil. You defeat the devil by crucifying your flesh and walking in your godliness. Man, a lot of people don't understand this. You defeat the devil by crucifying your flesh and walking in your godliness. That's how you destroy him. See, a lot of times you fighting people. And Matt, no. It's about you. Walk in peace. Anything in your heart that is not peaceful, he shows you, crucify that thing and walk in peace. The word of God is not passive. It is alive and active and sharp. Unlike other pieces of the armor, which are defensive, the sword is offensive. It allows us to strike back against deception, fear, and temptation by declaring God's word. Listen. You got to declare the God's word to yourself and to your circumstances when he's attacking you. You got to speak it out. You got to speak it into the air. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. This is the way it works. The battle is won internally. See, the way we win spiritual battles is to win them internally. The battle is won internally from the inside out. Get this. The battle is won from the inside out. So as you have word control, a word-controlled spirit of the word of God, your mind is renewed to the word, you got the word in your heart, you speak it out your mouth, you act it out in your life, you defeat the enemy. The enemy wants you to react a certain way that's ungodly. You stand and you stand and you mumble under your breath. I talked about lust and perversion. You know, I talked about it. I try to help people in that area. Well, you got to deal with your own thought life and your own feelings. You got to crucify that thing on the inside. You got to have some scripture in you. I would not look on the woman's desire. Satan, get out of my mind. I rebuke you. I'm faithful to my wife. I come up against that. You shall not divide asunder. You know what I'm saying? You got to get that word in you and stand on it. It's a peaceful violence that you take place on the inside of your own self. You deal with your own thought life. You deal with your own emotions that is not word controlled, that is not grounded in the word of God. I don't care how you feel. If your feelings is not lined up with the victory that Jesus has provided you, you jerk your feelings back in line. It's a battle that's won on the inside. So you defeat the enemy in the spirit realm by walking in the spirit on the inside of yourself. I'm giving you mysteries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus himself used scriptures to defeat temptation. Jesus used scripture to defeat temptation. Then Jesus was led up. Matthew 4:1-11. It says, and Jesus was led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There is no temptation that is uncommon to man that God has not already made a way to escape.
Amen.
With what? With the word. What word do you need to act on, speak, and behave according? That's your victory. Jesus was led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter had came, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus continued to respond, "It is written," until the devil departed. Jesus modeled how to wield the sword of the Spirit by speaking scriptures out loud in the face of temptation. The enemy cannot stand against the authority of God's word. So you stand on that word. You do not move off that word. You have to have a word-controlled life. So if you don't know the word, you know, I'm not talking about psychology and self-efforts and no, I'm talking about word. Speak that word back to the circumstances. You know, your body's not feeling well. Speak the word to your body.
Amen.
Tell your body what the word say. And tell yourself, I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna believe what the word say. Tell yourself. See, this battle is won on the inside first, and then it shows up on the outside. The battle's won on the inside first, then it shows up on the outside. Speak to your bank account. Have you given? Then it shall be given back to you. Press down, shake together, men, give unto your bosom. I thank you that, Lord, you give me power to obtain wealth, to establish your covenant, your promises. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that my bank account is growing and overflowing in plenty of money. I thank you. Start somewhere. Say, Lord, I thank you that I got $10,000 in my bank account and all my bills are paid on time and before time, Father God. I thank you. Why? Because Jesus died to make me rich. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. That's what your word say. I stand on that thing. You sitting there, you paying your bills. Lord, I thank you that I got plenty of money to pay my bills on time and before time. You might only have $200 and some in your savings account. Lord, I thank you that I got $10,000 in my savings account. I declare it by faith, Father God. I've asked you to fill my bank accounts, Father God. You believe in God for a certain amount of money to live on. You say I got it. I thank you by faith. You ask for it in prayer, and then you thank him every day, every time it comes across your mind. No, I thank you, Lord. You start worrying about finances. Lord, I thank you that all my needs are met by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you make all grace abound toward me, that I have sufficiency of all things, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you give me seed to sow and you multiply my seed sown, Father God, that I always have sufficiency of all things, Father God. I thank you. That's what your words say. You stand on that word. And that's how you win the battle. And that's how you fight that battle. I am his righteousness. He answers my prayer. My prayer has already been answered. Thank you, Father God. You heard my prayer. In fact, you're working on it right now. The angels is causing it to come to pass. Your word is working mightily inside of me and through me and around me, Father God, to bring to pass the desires of my heart. For you give your beloved rest. So I'm going to rest tonight and not worry about it. I'm at peace. See, you stay in that word. You start saying that. You get it in your heart and start coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. And you do that at night. Worship him. Lord, I thank you. Worship him with the word. Glory to God. Take the scriptures and worship him with the scriptures. That's how you defeat the enemy in your life. That's true spiritual warfare and battle. You take that scripture and worship God with us. Find a scripture and worship God with it. Glory to God. Find a scripture in this waving in the devil's face. Well, praise God. I've shared the word. Last thing, this teaching point I want to share. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God spoken in faith. It is our weapon to cut through lies, silence the enemy, and establish truth. Jesus shows us the victory comes, shows us that victory comes not by human reasoning, but by declaring it. We declare what the word. Oh, man, there's a scripture in the book of Job that says that when you throw your gold in the dust, you shall be able to decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. So when you love the word more than money, you can declare your wealth that you have in Christ Jesus. He died to make you rich. Glory to God. Declare your wealth. He is your prosperity and plenty. I said Jesus is your prosperity and plenty. Hallelujah. Jesus shows that this victory comes not by human reasoning, but by declaring. It is written. It is written. You declare what is written over your life. When we speak the word, we release the power into our situation. I'm going to say it again. When we speak the word, we release its power into our situation, driving back darkness and standing firm in Christ's victory. That's what the armor is all about. It's about walking in who he is and what he's done for us. It's walking in his victory. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our salvation. Glory be to God. It's all about what he is and what we are in him. He is our truth. Hallelujah. God bless you. Father God, I thank you for being able to share this word today. I thank you, Lord, that I'm just going to stop on this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people today. Amen and amen.